Welcome to the Partners. Face,
yeah, man.
Pat,
but
and
with
Tim.
That being said, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Partners, the show with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I am one third of the Partners. It's your boy T, and I am along.
The other third of the Partners, the Padawan here, man. Man, I'm along with that dramatic pause.
What's going on, man? Facing the place, head of the race, middle of the class. I ain't going to say no ass.
Did you hit the Heisman before you said that? No, I'm going to look like you hit the Heisman.
He's still over there doing the Brian Pumper dance. but yeah, man, before we even get into the rest of it, man, let's just start the show off with how are you guys doing life-wise, mental health-wise, just all around, whichever one of y'all?
Well, I'll take the lead on this one. Mental health-wise, right now in the week, I'm pulling it together. Earlier part of the week, I wasn't doing so well. So, touch and go for me, but I'm here. Once again, you got to do the practice and the techniques and do what you got to do. Yeah, but right now, copa static, cool, calm, full, just finished eating, so that's always good. Full body, full mind, healthy body, yeah. Healthy mind, man, and healthy body.
Preach that good word. You said what?
I said, and we're going to move around the circle. So, Pat.
Before we go on.
Okay.
How can we support you this show up or just be there for you in whatever way you may need or want?
Well, as usual, just be open to receive if I need to vent or if I need to give information as far as getting anything off my chest. Just be open to receive if I need.
I got you. I definitely. Pat, you want to go or do you want me to go if you need to process off work? So I know you, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you can go, man. I'm going to process a little bit.
Okay. This week has been a lot. I'm starting to immersion. Basically, what that boils down to is going around triggers in smaller doses than what it's going to be next week at work, but like so that I can kind of get used to practicing my coping, practicing, seeing if the medication is doing its job, just kind of practice being around them so that it's not a shock to my system. So I did that. So we went out to a restaurant. Now, I don't even want to smile, although it has some of the best food, period. But I don't even want to say the name of the restaurant because my experience was got my family here, so I got my mom, my aunt, my cousin, whom I love very much, but their type of anxiety disorder. So that's just, then on top of that, I already got like an anxiety around driving anyway from DSD, but it's been heightened because I have more people that I love in the car, so hyper aware of stuff than normal, you know what I mean? So like, I'm trying to act normal, but the whole time my heart is like beating out of my damn chest, you feel me? And then we go out to eat, you know what I'm saying? In general, like I say, like it was like a weird thing. Like it's almost like I had two separate experiences in what? Like, there was the experience of being with my family, being with my son, him being with my dudes. You know what I'm saying? That's always a beautiful dynamic to watch because grandma. And then, you know what I'm saying? Just having the family around the city, that was cool. But on the other hand, it's a lot of people. They got different, they all dance around in clothes. It was a lot. For the first time to be back out kind of in the public, you feel me? And then while we out there, we coming out of the gym, me, my mom, my wife, my son, we coming out of the gym. My aunt and my cousin still in there ordering some dessert. We standing out front, I got the bags of food in my arm, the drinks in my hand, or with a homeless dude asked for some change. I'm like, you know, we don't even got no, so he went on into the restaurant. Now, mind you, just like a younger homeless dude, like about in late 20s, but he looked like on that shit, you know what I mean? Pretty bad. So anyway, my goal at this point, my spotter senses already went up. I already know this is about to go somewhere left. I just don't know exactly where in this situation is about to go. I'm already at high alert. I'm already anxious as fuck, but now my anxiety is going through the roof. So I'm looking at my son and my wife, and I'm kind of getting in the eye like, all right, y'all go ahead, start to walk on up the street. I'm corralling my mom, like, go ahead, walk with them. Trying to get her to act, but you know, you know mothers, man, they be oblivious. So I'm like trying to get her to act without drawing too much attention to us because the homeless dude done walked in the store and he's asking people for money. But through the window, I'm looking at the man, like the little dude that worked there coming around, to about to say something to him. So I'm already peeping all this. I'm seeing the whole scene set up. So I know where this is about to go wrong. And we right in front of the doors. So I'm like, all right. So my wife finally pick up on the eye. So she started to corral the son on up a little bit. She's putting the earmuffs on him because she's finally picking up. She know me. If I'm giving her that eye, some shit about to go weird. So you need to get him somewhere. So she's moving. So she moves up to maybe the next building over. My mom is finally getting the point. So she move up to the next move over. Now my cousin, you know my cousin. He's in tune with the stuff that we in tune with, kind of. So he kind of peeping this game too. So now he trying to get my aunt up out of there. But they right by where this shit is about to happen. So now, you know, inside I'm freaking out, but I'm sitting there with a handful of drinks, an armful of food. I'm mentally multitasking and like piecing this shit together. Like, okay, how do I make sure that I don't have to act a fool and get an eye on wherever my aunt and my cousin is in this crowd in here? And I can get my son, my wife, and my mother to save them all in the same swoop. So I'm like, eyeballing and corralling, looking at this situation. Man, this dude come around, the little manager dude come around and was like, you can't be in here without nothing else. Dude didn't say, hey man, why are you tripping? Nothing, just immediately went into the stands. Like, what? What? Oh, so the dude with that worked there, he dumb enough to be with the shit. So he like, all right, okay. So the girls that work there come around and they like trying to push the manager dude back. But the dude at this point, he done chose violence. The homeless dude done chose violence. He's on another one that whatever he owned and kicked in, or that fiend for it then kicked in. And he's on a level 11 at this point. Y'all go, whatever, motherfucker. So he's dropping F-bombs at a rate that I have never seen in my life. Like it is. And y'all know I can have a foul mouth when I get pissed, but I've never seen somebody drop this many consecutive F-bombs. And they all make sense. It wasn't just like fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck. It was like, it was a bunch of fucks that was like lining up and making complete sentences out of this one word. I've never seen this happen, but he was rattling. And next thing I know, the girl that was trying to break it up, she turned around to him and was like, just get out. And this dude cocked back to the heavens and punched the shit out of him. Lord Jesus. Now imagine. Out of
the girl?
Now, out of the girl, bro. So now I'm sitting out here. He's walking toward the exit door, but he got a messed up leg. So he's like dragging his leg out. And he's walking toward the exit door fast as shit. My wife and my son are like maybe 5 to 10 feet from the exit door up the street a little bit. My mom is still straggling behind them, still walking, still oblivious. So we trying to get it out. Now she's finally seeing because he's coming out the door with the F-bomb now. So now she's seeing. But I don't see my aunt or my cousin. So now I'm getting freaked out. So now you know my shit is on 10. I'm like, all right, where are they? Did somebody fall on her? What happened? Did I not see something? Like, what is going on in there? Luckily, my cousin, again, he's in tune with us. So he had got her out and maneuvered them around to safety. But talk about, like, all of this happening within like the stretch of 30 minutes. So the restaurant itself already got me in like damn near panic mode. And then this shit started going on. So I'm, bruh, it was a lot. Yeah. It was a lot. Overall, the week is going good though, because you know, the fam is here. So we kicking it. My cousin has like not been here in like shit a good 10 years. So it's like, this is really dope, but it's been a lot. But I'm going to try to go out again tomorrow. I'm trying to get them, you know, figure out something they want to do and, you know, go out. So tomorrow, their last day here. So I want to definitely, you know, take them out. Like, I don't want to just be in the crib either. I want to take them out and do something with them tomorrow. But, man, this public stuff is, it's a lot for me now, bro. It really is. I go back to work on Monday. So I'm really terrified of that because that's like the highest of high stresses.
Yeah.
So we fared to Midland, but I'm just trying to take it a day at a time. Today was a decent day, you know, everything was good. That's been where my mental, it's been like good and then like, ah, and then good and then like, ah. Oh, not to mention, I got the car full of my family in the damn car, the tire pop. So now, you know, driving plus all of them in the car, plus the tire, you know, now my.
Yeah.
Oh my God, bro. Yeah, it was stressful. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna still try to find a positive out of it. And the good thing is I got to be out with my family. We got to have a good meal to get set at the ML King Center. Martin Luther King Center, whatever. So shit, I could not say that for nothing, huh? So we went and sat there and ate. So that was dope. We're gonna see what happened the rest of the week. And to be there for me, man, just be willing to reconfigure. Like I said, if I need to pivot, y'all know me, it might be the last minute and I start freaking out and just can't go. So be ready to pivot. And
all right.
Patawonius.
Man, I still kind of feel like I'm at work because I haven't got off, because I just got off work. had a call that got on my nerves, like trying to be helpful or whatever. We found somebody else. So I was like, well, why did you have me talking to you for 15 minutes trying to help when you were going to? So the one thing is there is a mute button. And sometimes I use that mute button to utilize venting. If this bitch will shut the what the hell? You know what? I don't let you hold for just a couple of moments just because you done pissed me off. The last time I got to talk to you anyway, it was a lot of talking without my teeth moving. It was like, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of a lot of anxiety.
The mama and the choir loft.
Why your simple ass on my phone? Simple ass on my phone. But it's one more day left, and then I get 2 days that'll probably feel like 5 seconds off. Yeah,
right on.
Them 2 days, that moment right after you get off work and you don't got to go back in for 2 days, it's precious. I wish I can control Doctor Who time, like get the DeLorean or whatever. All right, my shit's falling off. I wish I could get like a time machine, just hold time for that good 10 minutes that I'm off for like a good hour or whatever.
I feel whatever. You.
But I'm cool. I'm cool now.
How's life overall this
week? It's calming down pretty right much. Right. Not too much. The biggest headache is work, as it should be.
Understood. Work is work.
Yep. But got a couple of gigs I'm working on, whatever, drawing gigs.
Oh, there you
put
go.
Some extra money in my pocket. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, put your talents to use, bro.
Yeah. And then I found something hacked into my damn account. And I called
like your bank account. And, oh.
Yeah. Putting claim out on it and I'm getting that money back.
Okay.
It's just gonna take a while.
Return my ducats, please.
That's why I say if you get a bank, man, have an app with it. Keep your eye on it.
Yes, sir. Time. No, that's real talk right there. I literally a few minutes ago. Yeah. And you gotta check it kind of frequently too, because they will do maintenance and you'd be missing something, and then all of a sudden it updated, you'd be like, whoa, what is this?
What
you never want to be hit with is what is this?
I always think I'm like $50 or $100 lower than what I actually have.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. Yeah, how can we be there to support you?
Just doing this, man, as usual. Yo, like this is my one time I could be myself.
Always, man, because you're in the pause. Ain't no friend taking a driving, man.
Today.
You
be yourself,
man. Today. We got a little bit of positivity we're going to bring to y'all, man, to help you to be yourself, a version of yourself. We got a little bit of positive Black news. We got a few stories, you know, because of the recording schedule. It's not much happened since the last one, so it's been a bit of a slower news week this week. But I still got some stories to illuminate the shit that Black people are doing, experiencing, creating, and just, you know, living through out here in this wonderful world we live in. So, first story comes to us from BNC.TV, and it's about Dads on Duty, a group of Black fathers working to ensure a safe environment for kids. So a group of 40 dads descended on Southwood High School in Louisiana to create a positive safe space for their children after 23 students were arrested stemming from multiple fights, CBS reported. Dads on Duty requires men to be on the high school premise from the start of the morning until the end of the school day. The fathers each take a shift to make sure there is some type of authoritative figure at the school. Michael Lafitte told CBS News, he started Dads on Duty because we decided the best people who can take care of our kids are us, said the group's founder, Michael Lafitte. Since the group formed, there have been no fights on campus, with one student explaining, the school has just been happy, and you can feel it. While on campus, the fathers become a role model for the children as they encourage the kids to do their best, tell dad jokes, dispense out life advice, or just be a support system with their presence. The group plans on becoming a permanent fixture at Southwood High School, and Dads on Duty has a vision to spread this organization across the country. So salute to brother Michael Lafitte, and salute to these kings, man, out here putting their time and effort where their mouth is, man, and really standing up for the kids, man. And like, instead of just talking about what the kids need, really going in there and being there. I think this is one of the dopest stories we've covered. Black father, this really resonates with me, like, because I definitely make sure I'm a strong presence in everything that my son does. So I think this is really dope that they showing up at their own kid's school to be the, instead of a school having to go out and get a resource officer or the police having to come in and do some, these dads said, no, they don't need all that. They just need somebody to come in and show them some love and show them that they care. This is the type of stuff that really changed kids' lives when they see Black men stepping up and being there. Sometimes it ain't about you even having to fuss. Like, I can guarantee you a lot of them kids are not acting a fool, not because they scared of these dads or nothing, but because they need that. They looking for that. They looking for somebody to show that they just love them. Super dope. So salute to Dads on Duty and Michael Lafitte, the founder of the group. Hope this does spread around the country. And if you got a kid out here, man, go show up at their school, man. Try to be an active part of whatever's going there. And, you know, sometimes you'd be surprised, man. The kids in your kid's class can maybe benefit from you, too, because a lot of them may not have that father figure to be from. You might be. I know when I go to my son's school, sometimes I might be the only dad out of the class. Everybody else's moms and grandmas and stuff like that. So it's a cool thing to be able to be that model for the next generation. So love to see the king stepping up. Our next story comes to us from blacknews.com. First time author honors murdered son and then sells out of her books a few days. Dr. Shawanda S. Moore, also known as the Tax Doctor, is the CEO and founder of Royal Financial Services and Royal Tax Box. She decided to write her first book entitled Introduction to Tax Preparation to assist individuals with starting their own tax business, growing their tax business, and understanding the tax process. Dr. Moore launched her book on her birthday, August 21st, 2021, and was overwhelmed with the fact that all the books were sold out within just a few days. Dr. Moore ordered only 200 books because she did not expect to receive such a response. Dr. Moore stated that this has to be a blessing because she has never seen this much support in her life, especially after suffering the tragic loss of her biggest supporter. Dr. Moore's son, Sean Moore, was just 21 years old when he was murdered in New Orleans on September 29, 2020, due to senseless violence. Naturally, she was grief-stricken and her heart continuously aches due to this incident. She wanted to give up on everything because Sean was her business partner and made her feel like the best mother in the world. Sean had plans on continuing to help his mother grow her business and wanted to start his own trucking company. Because Sean was positive, helpful, and giving, Dr. Moore desires to complete all of his unfinished goals. She plans to carry out every goal that her son didn't get an opportunity to finish, plus grow her business. She says that she carries the love of her son in her heart and respects all the things her son has done to assist with the starting up the business. She vows to keep his memory alive as her business partner by securing his position as an honorary CEO. And in honor of her son, she has planned to launch a set of financial literacy books for children on November 1st, 2021, which can be bought at thetaxdoctor.com, thetaxdoctor.com. And she's also currently working on a financial literacy curriculum that will include entrepreneurial skills to assist middle school and high school students prepare for the real world. So shout out to Dr. Shawanda S. Moore. Rest in peace to the young king that she lost to senseless violence. But I really like the fact that she was able to see victory after that, and the fact that she's doing it in a way that I feel like would make him, like, if that was his lane anyway and he was going into financial literacy, I think doing the financial literacy for the kids is why she's going to be successful, because it really does uphold his. Salute to the doc, know. Man. Yep. Big move. Big teams of one. Big teams diggy, of diggy, from diggy, the queen. And last up, this story also comes to us from blacknews.com. Black alumni from California State University East Bay launched Black Excellence Project. California State University East Bay has officially launched the Black Excellence Project, which documents student graduate success on campus via multimedia and film. Black Excellence Project captures Black students' experiences of their perseverance in obtaining their undergraduate degrees. Black Excellence was co-created by Sarah Aubert, a higher education analyst, and Stephen Cleveland, ethnic studies entitled lecturer and history lecturer. DEI Student Center African American Fellow in partnership with Cal State East Bay's Institutional Effectiveness and Research Department. As first-generation college students themselves, Ms. Aubert and Professor Cleveland are uniquely qualified to understand the pain points that can lead to student success or failure. Black Excellence focuses on a strengths-based approach to highlight programs and factors that aided students by staying on track. The project seeks to strengthen support for Black students by promoting a culture of inclusivity, encouraging collaboration and conversation, and informing and responsible and thoughtful action. The project will bring attention to institutional best practices that are crucial to enhance Black student success. Having the student voice front and center allows us to learn from the students' lived experiences on their road to graduation. The Black Excellence Project shows us the work of our Black students and their community, thriving in spaces where they feel empowered and supported, as Dr. Cynthia L. Alvarez, Assistant Director of Students. So this program, man, is basically showing young students best practices from other graduates. So instead of you going to an advisor and you basically learning about like, hey, this is what you need to do to get your degree, or this is what you need to do to make sure that you graduate from this program or this program. Instead, you getting your advice from former students that have graduated from those actual fields and getting their best practices. So you're getting an understanding from the student perspective, you know, whether that be, hey, this is the right classes to take in which order to make sure that you had a best understanding for your degree field, all the way down to, you know, hey, this might be the best time of day to take a certain class, basically based around, you know, lab access or whatever, or whatever the case may be. But I think this is a really dope program, and I love to see young Black people helping other young Black people. It's really dope when it's within your own generation that you're getting help. So salute to them and the Black Excellence Project. And that is the Black news that you can
hear. The flu monkey. Oh,
fuck you, man. It ain't no damn
flu monkey.
I'm gonna tell you what it is. It's the aunt monkey who's been here all week. So you know what's been going down.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie, I've been coughing all day too.
Oh man.
But I think it's bucket.
The clock did say that. I thought I was tripping.
I think it's bucket.
I really thought I was tripping. I was like, it can't be that time already, but it must be, because that's what the clock say. Gotta listen to the clock.
Well, fuck it. What episode? It's episode 49. This dude is up. Fuck it. Episode 49. Good in Bucharest. You know, sometimes a good shout can clear your throat.
Hey, you just got to get that shit about you, man. Baby. Yep. You figured it out, man.
All right. This is going to be a very special good in Fuckery.
Oh. All right. I just want to start this off. Can I just get my disclaimer out of the way before you get into the good and fuckery this week? Are you starting it off with this?
Oh, no, no.
Are you really starting off
some goods? I'm gonna start it off with some other things.
Okay.
And then
I'm gonna just say this. There's gonna be a point in this good and fuckery this week, y'all, where this nigga gonna get real petty. Watch last week's episode to understand. But I'm gonna tell you, I don't care what he say this week. The first 10 minutes of his talk last week, he ain't make not one damn point. You run the tape back.
Oh man.
Proceed now. I just wanted to make sure I get my disclaimer out there, because I don't want
It's not
God damn it.
We'll get into that. All right. Let's start off with some good. All right. So it's said that a video game featuring music and performers of the Wu-Tang Clan is reportedly in development, and it's going to be a third person combat RPG, like I'm thinking like a Doom or something like that.
Oh, so, okay. Third person is more like God of War.
God of War. Oh, that's even better.
But didn't they already have a show like that back in the day for the PlayStation or something? Because I had that game.
Style.
I remember that
style
shit.
Style and
Stab. Me and Face used to play
That shit was hard. That shit was like hard.
I used to difficult. Like playing as U-God. He was tough on that shit.
Yo, it was just ridiculously difficult for no reason. Like, once I got to, like, the Raiden-looking dude or whatever at the end with the big hat, It was like, man, I ain't never got past that dude because I had to get all the other Wu members' points up and stuff. Well, yeah, they're gonna make a new video game. So hopefully it won't be as difficult.
I'll play it.
Yep. So next on the good and fucker. Hey, let me get back to my list. But Kevin Hart, Wesley Snipes, they unveiled a trailer for a new crime series called True Story.
Oh, whatever. Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes?
Yep, Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes.
Is that not a weird mix to anybody else?
Yes, it's a very weird mix to me. I had to read it like two times before I was like, yeah, Wesley, all right. But you know, Chris Rock, he did, was it Fargo? Mm-hmm. What is, isn't that the name of the show where he's like he's actually doing like a real serious role pretty much? Yeah,
I have no idea.
Oh. Well that I know that that series, I think it was on HBO, but they got like a lot of awards for it, so they might be going in this direction, broadening his horizons, if you will, much.
I'm here for it then.
I'm actually really, the inner child in me is really excited about this, right? So y'all know the classic Pixar movie Toy Story, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Buzz Lightyear, the action figure, right? So they're actually making a Buzz Lightyear movie, but it's not about the toy. It's basically off of the character the toy is based off of. So we're going to
get fighting Emperor Zurg.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it looks pretty dope. Like it looks like him going through like the training to be Buzz Lightyear. Like he's like in boot camp.
So like a prequel to Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, pretty much. But it looks pretty dope, man. And then they got like a black woman character or whatever. She got like the same armor as Buzz Lightyear, so I think
they're actually like, here for
it. Yeah, I think they got like they boot camp co-students, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm. Cadets,
that's what I'm thinking. You know, I ain't been in them.
no doubt. I just know because of Police Academy.
You would think I would know, since 757 ain't nothing but a military base on the low anyway. Y'all ain't heard that from me anyway. Face, you might be interested in this. I'm not sure, but Ryan Gosling and is reuniting with the Blue Valentine director for Universal's monster movie Wolfman. So they're making a new Wolfman movie.
Is this part of that MonsterVerse shit?
I think so. I believe so.
Might be good.
I don't like it.
You ain't digging it.
I see what this movie is like before I make a film.
I gotta watch the trailer before I do it.
If it's the same people that's behind the DC universe,
it depends on.
They have failed me so many.
I feel better with Snyder than I would with any of the others, but yeah.
Yeah, you gotta give me Snyder, Whedon, Ryan Johnson, even. We'll see what happens. I'll keep an open mind.
So, the incident that happened in Charlottesville a couple of years back, it looks like the rally organizers will actually be going through a civil trial, and jury selection is already being decided.
As well they should. They should definitely go through some type of accountability after people done died. Doesn't matter, get hit with a car. Huh? Am I making it up?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Isn't that the same rally?
Mustang. Yep, that's the same one.
Yeah.
The Tiki Torch rally. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, in a recent interview, Jeezy was talking about a fist fight he had in Vegas, and Jay-Z had his back, and he said Hov got hands.
I believe that. Much.
I believe it too.
Hov, people forget, man. Hov like 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", somewhere in that range. Long reach. I believe a lot of these dudes, they forget, man. These dudes, whether they could or not before, like, they usually get into boxing when they get rich.
Yeah.
So, like, it ain't just, you know, you just running up on everybody. Like, if you ain't got hands, your damn self. So, I can believe that. I believe that story. I could see Jay-Z with his lock swinging, knuckling up with him and Jeezy back to back.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I think it might have been, I think it might have been before the dreads, though. Like, this was early on, like, when Jeezy
first was getting on. When he was on first getting the Def Jam.
Yeah, I think that might have been
Oh, that's even. I definitely believe it then, because that was back when Jay-Z was still stabbing niggas.
Yeah, a little bit more. You know, wasn't the Jay-Z we know of.
He won't $1 billion jigger yet.
Nah, not yet. So, in more news here, we're gonna start off with a bit of tad bit of flowers mixed with fuckery before we get into the
flowers and fuckery. All right, let's go.
So, the game claims he put on your favorite West Coast artist as Dr. Dre as Top Dog. So the game doesn't think he gets the respect he deserves for supporting West Coast artists during the early stages of their career. Taking to Twitter on Sunday night, October 24th, the Compton rapper said refusing to be a puppet is the reason he hasn't received recognition over the past 18 years. While noting his mentor, Dr. Dre, and TDE founder, Anthony Top Dog, Top Dog, know just how much he's done, or whatever. Says, I never got my flowers from the industry because I'm trying to do the game voice. Because wouldn't be a puppet for the dollar bill. Hashtag thug life. The game wrote, you know how many of your favorite West Coast artists I hand a hand in putting on ? Just being a good N/GGA was offered finder's fees, could have signed N/NGGAs, etc. I just wanted to see my ends from the side win. He added, as Dr. Dre. Well, yeah, we already heard that before, pretty much. And you know, I agree. The game has put on and actually put a lot of the West Coast rappers that's out co-signed for a lot of them. I know he did co-sign for Kendrick and things like that but it ties into what I've been feeling about the game. I don't think the game feels like he has gotten his just dues like he should, but I feel like it's for other reasons. And these are my reasons. The game time and time again has done fuckery after fuckery. Let's start off with the even Belly 2. If y'all haven't seen Belly 2, good it is. Man, it is some of the greatest horrible acting I've ever. I felt like it was just some guy with a camera just follow around game in the hood one day. Like, they should have just made it a documentary. Like, why did you pick Belly 2?
Wasn't that the name of his album? See, that's a bar.
Exactly. See? I swear I should have been an A&R.
15.
So, yeah.
You don't want that's, none.
That's one of the obvious. The next one. Rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle, or whatever. It was a period of time where it wasn't even that shortly after Nipsey had passed, but he started putting out a clothing line called Prolific Clothing. Well, actually, he put out a record company called Prolific Records and then had the clothing line, Prolific Records Clothing Line, pretty much. Posting it up saying it's sold out. Unless those proceeds or going to the family or whatever, I just feel like it's dirty to just go ahead and take something, you know, an idea that someone
was Prolific had. Records, Nipsey Hussle's thing.
Prolific is the tat that's right here. Like,
got it.
Most
got
known
it.
For that tat.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And then then at that time he braided his hair up like Nipsey and all that other stuff. So yeah.
Okay. Question.
Yeah. Very, very question. Other minor twerks or whatever.
Other minor what?
Quirks.
Oh, quirks. About game.
I thought you said
other minor twerks. I was like,
I might have did said that, but I'm sorry if I did. I meant quirks. The game. The face be fucking me up every single time. All right. One thing about the game, when he raps,
Pat has got a man
back at home.
Keeps messing with me, man. It's all right, dog. It's okay. I know who I am as a person. I'm the Padawan.
Oh, God.
All right, I will keep going, whether they keep jokes me or not, but shut up. All right. When the game raps, man, every freaking verse consists of some of the most simplest bars with somebody's name in it or whatever, but it's just, I guess that's why they call him the game, because he names everybody in the game in like every verse. If he's not in Dr. Dre 6-4 Impala for the 5,000,000th time.
It's a nice Impala.
Yeah, it is. He's doing something like Jay-Z in the Sunshine video. You know what I'm saying? Time and time and time again, the game is saying everybody.
I can't go a day without my sunshine. Well, that's an underrated ass version. Jay-Z was coming with some bangers back then.
And that video was dope. That video was real dope. That was when the videos were just awesome. You never know what you want to have that. Yep. All right. So it was a period of time, I would say, that maybe the game has lost its steam or whatever. I would say,
game mind lost you, what?
His steam. Like,
I got you. Sales, I just had to understand what word you said.
Yeah, steam. Just sales wasn't like popping, you know, all the new music was coming out, rap was changing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was between that 2013 to shoot now, almost pretty much or whatever. Like, now mind you, he's put out great projects in that time. It's just that people probably wasn't looking for that type of rap at that time. I would say the main the last one that really had got everybody's ear was like the Jesus Piece back in 2012. And then mind you, you got the document in between that time, between 2015 up to like pretty much now, like we had Documentary 2, Documentary 2.5, album called 1992, which was actually pretty awesome. Born to Rap. I kind of disagreed with the cover of Born to Rap. But, you know, as far as putting music together and picking beats and stuff like that, the game is pretty solid with that or whatever. It's just he just wasn't in the public eye as much. Being that that would happen, he tend to do certain things to you wouldn't expect someone of his caliber to have to resort to, pretty much. Like stupid shit on Instagram or here or there. One time he made a song where he was pretty much saying, hey, I fuck this girl, and this girl in the industry. Fuck Kim Kardashian.
I hit it first.
It was K. Michelle.
Who they said?
He said, yeah. K. Michelle. I think K. Michelle came back and said, it's amazing the guys that you let, basically she was saying it ride their face or whatever, they want to be the ones to talk or whatever. She said that. And he also said that he took he got Sin Santana, which is Joe Budden's ex-fiance at the time. And he was putting out an album, but he didn't have a single. And that is the single that he came out with. And nobody at that time was really thinking about the game. Now out of the blue, he just came out with that. And as quick as it was, like, all right, a sensation for a moment, it just died out right after that.
Yeah, because I don't remember.
Exactly. And you would think somebody claiming that, you know what I'm saying, all these accusations at once that he messed with all these girls or whatever, like Lisa Ray. Man, he actually, after that, he was on Clubhouse putting out a whole list of famous people that, you know, famous women that he actually put out. And I just feel like that's some sucker shit. Like
kissing and telling is not a man move.
Yeah, I just really feel like there's some sucker shit. And it just time to time, like it's been times where I'm like, yo, game is going. Like when he was like beefing with 50 and stuff like that, or like you'll hear game say like damn near 50 to 100 bars or whatever. And that all of them had to have like somebody's name in there. He was saying some shit or whatever.
Right.
Whatever. But at the same time, as soon as you like, all right, game, you got me on my good side now, he just do some fuckery. And it just knocks out whatever he was built up to do. Like, and it's just ongoing stuff. Like,
he's pretty good at basketball.
He is. I mean, being that tall, I would expect you to be good at something. Shoot. He ain't good at game shows, like Change of Heart. She dang sure changed her heart, you know.
Poor movie.
You petty as fuck.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then it's just ongoing stuff, man. It's ongoing back-to-back stuff. And then I realized his manager is WAC 100, and it all kind of makes more sense.
What do you mean?
It makes sense. WAC 100 go after artists that's like, what's the word? It's not speculation. It's not, like, I don't want to say controversial or whatever, but they'll just do stupid shit. Like, yeah, Blueface, Tekashi, he kind of, like, I mean, it's probably other artists he probably managed or whatever, but the main ones are the ones that just will, they'll do some fuckery out of the blue or whatever, and he will back the fuckery.
WAC 100 is a weirdo. I'm going to say that right now. I'm not, and I don't mean that on no tough guy shit. I mean that on some just the way he moves to be such a gangster, quote unquote. He definitely makes some questionable decisions and he stands on. Mm-hmm. God bless him.
He attaches himself to some
fuck shit.
Questionable.
No.
Beyond questionable.
He attaches himself to some revenue building individual who are on the outskirts of normal society, but who are the main scheme of the new subculture. You feel me? And he's an old school dude, but he has the wisdom and foresight to see, bet, I see where these knuckleheads is going. I see what the money is doing. I attach myself to them in a business aspect. I'm going to eat off their foolishness. I ain't got to be down with it. I just got to be able to speak on it if I'm asked about their foolishness to a certain degree. But I still got my own shit. I stand. But the foolishness they do, it's still gonna give me my percentages too.
He liked that foolishness. He'll be back in that shit talking about Tekashi gangster for snitching and shit. Like, that's a weirdo shit. I'm with telling if you a citizen. Like, you do some wild shit with me, I'm snitching your ass, right? Because I ain't involved in nothing. However, in my past, when I was involved in nonsense, I ain't saying shit.
Exactly.
How dare I tell on somebody else who's doing the same shit I'm doing? What kind of bullshit is that?
Mm-hmm.
If I was the one dumb enough to get caught, well, that's my L. I ate that. That's part of going in the game. So, like, you ain't about to tell me you're supposed to be some OG nigga and then you're going to sit there and call a snitch a gangster. Like, that shit don't vibe. And then you were, like, you could be a blood working with a Crip. I ain't tripping off that. I ain't set tripping at all. But what you can't be doing is out here backing this weirdo shit that Blueface be doing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not jacking that.
Yeah, I'm not with the rappers that, doing some wild, you know, shit. Don't be rapping. That don't be on beat rapping. Oh, I ain't with all that.
I ain't even tripping off his talent or whatever. I'm just more talking about the weird shit he be doing outside of that reality show shit. Or he be doing
way. But yeah, dude, those are the main reasons why I feel like the game be doing too much fuckery, man. Way too much fuckery.
You the major point, brother. I don't have much of a rebuttal, but I will say this. Next time before you make a statement like that, have a list like this, because I want my 10 minutes back from last week. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. At the time, it was late. I was down on my last.
Said this shit last week and saved us a whole conversation.
Yeah, I had to gather information and stuff because I knew, you know what I'm saying, that it was a lot, but... Yeah.
He had a point to prove.
Yeah. He damn sure did. Nigga put way more work into this than he did them plants on another planet.
Still, it might be a possibility.
I'm glad you've come around to the normal stance of things. It might be a possibility. Thank you.
Might be a possibility.
Thank you for backing off that definite.
You know, there is some other fuckery that we just didn't touch on last week or whatever. Or whatever. It might be too late for it, but I just saw this post or whatever, and it just made me laugh. Bless the child. The woman said The woman said, "We are built special." And in that picture was what's his name from Family Matters? Dennis McDaddy. What is his name?
Huh? Oh, you talking about Eddie Winslow and
Eddie Winslow,
transgender woman? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dennis. All right, so we might have to flip some things around then, because that's gonna lead right into my Eddie Winslow. Just say you like transsex.
Yeah, man.
2021.
Mr. C did it.
Ain't nobody tripping. Like, go do your thing. Yeah, Mr. C said it, and he's still out here DJing and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody still look at
like him. You would be all right.
But everybody looked at him different the first time.
You know, my thing is, like, unless you came across as a gangster or something, and you was trying to perpetuate this image where you hated him or some weirdo shit. Ain't nobody tripping out. Like, do what you do, but don't keep coming. Don't keep getting. What you ain't gonna tell me is that it won't nothing going on, and you was kissing this transgender. You not gonna tell me that nothing was going on. Oh no, my brother. And you got a woman, so that means that you was treating this woman like your side chick. You, the pictures came out, and now you embarrassed. And you trying to go back? Don't do that. Woman like that. That transgender woman said you was loving on her. Now say you was. Uh-huh. Don't lie. You was kissing on the woman in the middle of the video, like literally humping her butt. And what? You can't. It ain't no ducking that. It ain't no ducking that. I don't give a damn if you do get on there with Harriet talking about you ain't did nothing. No, you did something, bro. Something won't right. If you a heterosexual man and you kissing on a heterosexual binary, whatever the word is for just a regular biological woman that's heterosexual like me, and that's it. You kissing on her and you got a fiance, you already dead wrong. Then on top of that, it's a transgender woman and you trying to act like you won't doing nothing with her. No, you was doing something, like at least admit to, like, no, well, we was kissing. That wasn't part of the photo shoot. The photo shoot pictures did not come out. That was part of the after party.
Mm-hmm.
He was dipping in that sauce, got lost, and got to wandering. That's what happened. We ain't about to play this game. Around. Like video, like everybody got a
and
video.
This is not the first time.
We saw what happened.
And this is not the first time.
So could he be trying to lie to uphold his reputation as an upstanding member of the Family Matters cast? Because he knows if his truth comes out, they're going to ostracize him like they did Judy when she became a porn star.
No, because I think the difference between him and Judy is, for one, he had a stronger bond with them because he was on the show long. Like, Judy was on there for like a season or so, and then she was out of there. So they, you know what I mean? They didn't grow with each other as long as he did. For two, I think a lot of her shit was she tried to do that shit on the low, and that shit came out. Like, I feel like if you get out in front of your shit and you just admit your truth, it's harder to weaponize that shit against you, because, like, it's like, I've already said that I did it. Okay. Like, once you, like a lot of this shit stem from people wanting to hurt you. So, like, if they think it's going to hurt you, they're going to say it. So that's why they fucking with them. But if you come out and be like, yup, I like this, I'm into it, I'm whatever, sexual, I'm into women and transgender women, and this is what I do, and this is my lifestyle, I feel like they will probably support them, just because in 2021, like, people, to be honest with you, it's sections of people, because you got fringe people in every group. You got the crazy right-wing people, you got the crazy left-wing people, you got the crazy religious people, you got the crazy non-religious, like, you got all these crazy little groups. But the general population don't really give a damn.
Not at all.
You look stupid is you trying to play all of us as we dumb. And this lady said that you was kissing on her and that y'all had a thing. And you saying you didn't, but the video clearly shows you dry humping the fuck out of her and kissing her and all that. So if it wasn't a thing, then what was it? Because you're
mouth.
Right. Your fiance going to want some answers. I don't care what she is. Your fiance going to want to know what was you doing. Because it's hard to explain that. That won't no movie scene. That won't no nothing. That was a after party from a photo shoot, and you got sauced up and got into it, and you didn't know that video was coming out, and now you stuck. That's what we looking at. Like, people got to start telling the truth. Like, shit is what it is.
And this is not the first time you got caught. After the second, man, you better learn from Mr. C, God dang it.
You need to go on Mano's podcast and say that you just like that, what you do.
Because she said y'all built special. And I'm like, I bet y'all are built special.
Built special. We built special. Y'all I don't even special, know what that right? means. Like you built like a bag of laundry. You got bad, you got bad fitness. You built special.
I don't know. She built herself. So, hey, I'm going to leave it alone. But that's what she said.
What else you got in the good and fuckery this week, Pat?
No, that's the end of the good and fuckery for this week. We can just end it right. That was a lot of fun.
Good.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, after that fuckery, I need a palate cleanser before I go with this topic. I think it's time for us to face the screen. When you need something to watch, when you need some good entertainment, man. Face always come through with the big picks and the big convos on your latest TV shows and movies. So without further ado, let us get ready to face the screen.
I like how I did that. Face.
The screen. Now he over there doing the robot.
But yes, we're going to end out the month of October with my top horror franchises. No particular order, but we're going to go through. We're going to go through, being that he has a new movie coming out soon. I don't know if it just recently came out or is about to come out. The new Michael Myers Halloween movie.
Yeah, I think it did came out.
Is this continuation of that last one where with Jamie Lee Curtis? That was in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think this one, the whole town rallies to try to kill him. You feel me? Long franchise. Try what you can. Set him on fire. Shoot him. Stab him. Whatever. Hit him with a bus. Impale him. He keeps coming back. Great villain. Great villain, man. Great villain.
He might be the scariest one, too, because in the first one, when you see what he really is, he's really just a regular-ass person that's crazy as fuck. So for you to be able to, like, for him not to be, like, some supernatural demon or no dream monster or no ghost that came back from slavery town, like he just a regular dude that's just fucking people up, like that's creepy as hell. Like you burning a regular dude and he eating that shit. Like
the next
that
one,
means somebody can be Michael Myers for real,
right?
This next one's often compared to Michael Myers, going with the Jason franchise.
True. Okay, now see Jason, yes, make a little more sense to be scared of him, because he's definitely he's become supernatural now. Now he's a demon and everything.
My favorite one is Jason Comes to New York, or Jason Comes to Manhattan, whatever the name of it was when he went to New York.
I never saw that one.
What?
You know what my favorite one is? And everybody else hates it, but Jason X when they was in space. Also like Freddy versus Jason.
I fuck with that.
I do too.
Okay, I redeemed myself a little bit. Nigga gave me the stank face.
I feel like that movie was long overdue, man. They should have been there for Jason.
Yeah.
But to my next one, the Freddy franchise. You follow this guy? I just got him coming. Freddy franchise. Everybody knows Nightmare on Elm Street, man. Everybody.
Freddy and Chucky gave me my first nightmares from a movie.
That ain't no scary.
Lock your door. Everybody used to be scared of Freddy, man. What?
Yep, me.
Now he's the funniest out of all of them. Exactly. Freddy quick as shit. Freddy was saying some shit.
And he showed up on Rick and Morty one time.
He's most entertaining because he actually talked before he killed you. The rest of them be all quiet when they fucking you up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear nothing but you screaming. At least he give you some comedy relief on the way out as you get slaughtered.
Now, the next one, I feel, was the most frightening out of all of them on the name. The Hellraiser franchise.
Pinhead?
Yeah, that shit was scary.
Pinhead and all the other Maleficent things.
I like Pinhead, man. Pinhead eye with me.
Don't fuck with that little square gang, man. Don't fuck with that little box. You fuck with that little box, it's a
What they call that shit? The some configuration?
I don't know what the fuck.
That's your Google.
You'll never fuck with it.
Damn. The layman configuration.
If I go into a building and I see that shit, I'm leaving the building, I'm leaving the city. Nah. Ain't no time for that shit. No time for the Hellraiser shit. Nah.
But that's Pinhead. See, I'm one of them people though. Like if I see some shit that don't look like ain't nobody tell me to mess with it. I ain't got no reason to mess with it. It's just there. Like, let me leave it alone there. It ain't mine.
The Lamet configuration.
Yeah, okay, the Lamet configuration. Yo.
Here we go. I ain't fucking with
it. Configure your ass.
I gotta end the last one. with one of my favorites, not one of the scariest, but my favorite, the Candyman franchise. You feel me? It's a longer running franchise that people do realize. It got at least 4 or 5 movies in that franchise, and just came out with another one this year, man. So it's keep coming.
I'll be honest, man. That one right there is probably the one that has messed with kids most, just because more kids went out after the movie and did shit in their own mirrors and shit and freaked themselves out by a shadow or something. Mess around with that. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like that one has stood the test of time more off of just the legend of it, because it has less movies than these other franchises, but it's probably affected more kids.
Less movies, but yeah, I think they got a longer reach. You feel me? The Candyman franchise got a longer reach.
Yeah, that's Candyman is like Bloody Mary now. Like, it's just an urban legend.
Nothing scarier than Leprechaun.
Leprechaun is tell you what the movie is. Tales from the Hood, goddamn.
Ooh, Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh,
Leprechaun in
Part 3.
The real dude.
Part 3?
What, Leprechaun 3?
No, Tales from the Hood.
I didn't know it was a part 2 to that.
Yeah, part 2, it don't hit on that much, but part 3, yeah, part 3 that thing.
Oh, you got it. You done gave me something to look up this week.
Part 2
is not where at all. Is it by the same dude, 3? Rusty Cundiff?
No.
Oh, they got rid of him.
That's why.
It's the same type of premise, but the overall premise. Yeah. Part 2, no.
Okay.
Part 3, yeah. Part 3.
Okay. I'm about to check them.
Runners up. There's runner ups. The Phantasm franchise. Long.
I don't know franchise. What that is.
Phantasm. Oh, man. Yeah. It's about a cemetery worker. It's about a cemetery worker. It's tall. It's called a tall man. It's a tall, white, goofy-looking, grim-looking old white dude. Do some crazy shit.
Okay.
Look up some people on YouTube. It'll have you like, what the fuck? The Warlock series, the Warlock franchise.
I feel like I've heard that, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. It was like sci-fi, magic, and horror mixed together. The Warlock franchise.
I remember that. Warlock. I remember that, I believe.
Oh, yeah. If you like cartoons, you can just specifically go to The Simpsons, the Trees of Horror episodes for every Halloween. You know what I mean? If you want to consider that themselves, classic. Those episodes of the franchise, because they do that.
I tell you, Chucky Frank.
Yes.
True.
He won't go nowhere. He doesn't go nowhere. He done got married. He came back, had kids.
He's been burned, chopped up.
Melted, shot.
Thrown down. Everything. And he's still everything. There.
Still keeps coming. Fucking. Yeah, man. People don't give him his just. They don't give him his flowers.
I'd pay to see him and Freddy Krueger have a roast off. Like a roasting. Where they just joke on
him. Oh, shit.
Like, cause they both like the funniest of the horror villains. They the two that'll fuck you up while they had you laughing.
Okay, so Ben, we're talking about the screen right now. I just want to make something clear, because a lot of people have this misconception about this franchise. The Frankenstein franchise. Frankenstein was the doctor who created the monster.
Yeah,
Frankenstein is not the monster. Yes, he's the creature. Please stop calling the creature Frankenstein. I know it's easy to get it messed up. I understand, because most everybody does it. But if you watch the movie, if you know anything about books, anything about that specific franchise, please give the doctor his name, Frankenstein, and the creature his name, the creature.
And make sure y'all try Frankenberry cereal. It is really good.
And that's all I got this week for Face the Screen, baby.
Indeed, man. Y'all have a spooky Halloween is coming up this weekend here. So I hope all y'all have a very safe and spooky, COVID friendly. Find something to do that won't be a super spreader, please. But yeah,
I'd like
man.
To give a shout out to all the Velmas that's going to be out this Halloween, because I think Velma is the new Harley Quinn now. Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Velma.
Yeah, Velma.
Wow.
Everybody's dressed.
Jinkies, you Velma. Talking about?
Yeah, they done made Velma thick instead of fat now. And then, now everybody's dressing up as Velma.
Well, Jinkies then. Oh, head then.
Exactly.
Velma. Lamp,
now we know. Now we know what Shaggy was doing. All right.
They done made Velma thick like Thelma from Good Time.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw it coming? And I don't really have no segue for this next topic.
I definitely
want to just jump to it and talk about it. Dave Chappelle stunted and the conversation and backlash from the closer special. What do y'all think about his response to the Netflix backlash? And then I got some other questions I want to dig into. Yeah. What are just your overall opinions for that special?
Spot on. I think it was spot fucking on. Don't bend, don't budge. You feel me? He said what he said and it's there behind it. I mean, we all know he's a comedian, but we all know at the end of the day what the real message was if you watched the whole thing. Most people who had this anti-opinion didn't watch the whole piece of art. You looked at it to try to pull something out, to try to get offended by. You feel me? But at the end of the day, we got to look at who are the they we keep saying are doing this. But that's later on in the conversation. But as far as his response, I feel like I said it was spot on. You feel me? Like what he said about, like I said, how can I phrase it? How he articulated his stance against why they were upset, I can respect it. Who can't respect it? You feel me? Like, it's not malicious. Nothing I said was malicious.
Right.
If you watch, so if you ingest and digest that whole piece of art, you can tell what it was. If you heard that last segment, what could you say he said? How could you take anything malicious? If equality is what you want, you must be willing to be treated as equal, not special. That's the main thing, man. People getting that twisted. You want equality, or you preach equality, but that's not what you want. You want special. You want higher than. Because if you truly want it equal, when a joke came, you run with it because you laugh at the jokes about the other people.
Or
if you
can
laugh about a black joke, you can laugh about a trans joke. If you laugh about a gay joke, you can laugh about a white joke. It's a joke. If it's not, every joke ain't for everybody. Every comic ain't for everybody. But if you choose to continue to try to digest my material, is it me or is it you looking to try to be offended, to try to have an issue?
Right.
To try to make a point. But you can't make a point when I'm constant on everything I do. And my consistent point haven't been about you or your movement. It's about being about this other thing.
Right.
But instead of focusing on what my main point is, you continue to try to divert it to something else and make the beef about something it's totally not about. Instead of looking at the main point and the main issue and the main people that my rhetoric is about, that's not done. So
they, I feel like they're trying to NFL Colin Kaepernick Dave Chappelle. Like, you know how Colin Kaepernick, he protested by, you know, kneeling against police brutality. And then they made it something, totally something else. Like, he's disrespecting the flag. He's disrespecting veterans. He's disrespecting. They made it something totally the fuck else. Mm-hmm. It's funny how they're doing the same exact thing that they're doing the same exact thing as the people that claim are also oppressors. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing the same exact thing. You can go on a bit more or whatever. And matter of fact, before I say all that, the main point of it was when we wake up in the morning, all three of us, we don't put our minority on. We don't put our minority away. It's not like we can put our minority in a box somewhere when it gets a little too difficult to wear the minority. Like rain, sleet, hail, snow, sleep, work, you know, vacation. The minority is on. We don't get a break from whatever. What Dave Chappelle is saying that when it's convenient to take that minority off and use the privilege they also have or whatever. See, you're like, how you say, no, you're not biracial or whatever. You're like bi-societal, like you're privileged and you're minority at the same time. And you just pick when you can do the minority or whatever. And that's the main point of it. Like, he's not even talking to trans people or whatever. I seen a black gay person say that, yeah, there's some racist gay white people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't put up the point. They don't bring up the point where, all right, if this gay person, a black gay person or whatever, they wouldn't have called the police. When you are a minority, you have the option to call the police, but you don't have the security the majority has, the privilege has, when they feel like they can call the police. So as far as stance, as far as the backlash and everything, it was perfect, man. He's not backing down. And that's the main thing I think needs to happen, like, or whatever, like, is getting to a point where the cancel culture is acting like they're the rebels against the system or whatever, and they're turning into the system, pretty much. Like, you know how on Demolition Man, he woke up and everything is all polite and you can't cuss, you can't do nothing? That's what the cancel culture is going to end up being, pretty much, if they, like, take over and whatnot. Y'all going to have to cuss in a thing so y'all can wipe your ass when you take a shit after a while, fucking around with the cancel culture.
Three seashells.
The three seashells.
I would say, the way I feel about it is, for one, I definitely agree with you. I love the fact that he took a stand and just said, look, I know what I meant by what I said. I know the words I chose to use and what I said. And what y'all are accusing me of is not what I actually, so I'm not about to sit here and let y'all monopolize or force me into a conversation that's not even the real conversation to be had. Now, we'll meet with y'all if y'all want to discuss something so we can get a solution, because I don't have no problem with that. But what you're not going to do is bully me. And I feel like that's the big conversation this backlash is showing, like, that LGBTQI community plus community, whatever that community has a history lately of, like, going past fighting for their own rights, but they're more trying to stifle the rights of other people, not for the violence that people are doing. And that's the scary part. He's basically saying, stop bringing this into equating people not agreeing with your lifestyle to people beating and killing and raping and pillaging my people for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's not the same. Yes, there is violence among trans people, and it's rising in the past year. However, Dave Chappelle making a joke about you not equating your struggle to ours and how your struggle is its own thing, but you can't keep forcing people into a belief system and how you are becoming the oppressor. That has nothing to do with the violence. Crazy people are out here that will blow up a building because they got some signal from a commercial about cheese.
Yeah.
Like, crazy people, crazy. Somebody ain't gonna hear no, like,
that's
the average general public that's out here walking the street is not about to go out and go start fighting transgender people and beating on transgender people just because they heard a joke. The crazy people that were already geared toward and predisposed and doing that are gonna keep on doing it. Now, they may use this as a justification, as they would any other weird thing that they want to tie to their manifesto, because these days you can tie anything to your agenda if you really want to. The spin machine is ridiculous. But what we can't keep doing is having this one group tell everybody, you can't say shit if it don't agree exactly with what we believe. That's stupid. Now, I'm down with equal rights for every single person walking this earth. I truly believe that if you are a breathing human being, you should have the same rights as me. What I do not believe is that I have to agree with what you say that you are. If you come to me and tell me you're a kumquat, I can call you kumquat to respect your wishes, because I can respect you as a person enough to do that. I have no problem with that. What I do not have to do, though, is myself believe that you are a kumquat when I look at you and see you are a grown human being. And that's basically the biggest issue with this whole thing. You can't keep lumping general public people who just agree with what words mean. Biologically, in the scientific community, there are words that refer to what the sex of a creature of any species that is a creature that has two sexes. Like, they have that for a reason, because there are distinguishable characteristics on a genetic, chromosomal, and phenotypical level that are there. It's not absurd for a person to still see people as men and women. That's not crazy. That doesn't mean that they hate you. That doesn't mean that they don't think you should exist. What they do, they don't have to agree with you. That's not hurting you. This is my thing. Fuck all that. That's the problem. They keep trying to make the argument about people you don't believe in us. And by that, can you agree with the people that are hurting us? No. Let's focus on the people that are actually out here beating on you first and anybody else that's getting beat on. I don't like when people beat on Asians for no reason. I don't like when people beat on my own Black people for no reason. I don't like when people beat up gay people for no reason or trans people or any other group, because I think all of that shit is sick. But let's focus on those crazies that are actually doing that instead of lumping everyone who doesn't agree with your ideology or the way you see the world and the definitions that you put on words that already have a definition that everybody else is going by. You can't do that, because then what happens is you shut out a whole swath of people that could actually be your allies. Because we actually agree with you on the rights, on the your right to live, your right to not be harassed, your right to not be able to walk down the street and not have somebody come up and try to do harm to you just because you believe what you believe. But you can't change the definition of a word and make me agree with that. If I've already said, okay, I'm going to call you a woman because you think you're a woman, you feel like that's what you are, cool, I'll call you that. I don't have to believe that that's what you are. And I think that's the problem. Like, we keep lumping in beliefs like this shit is fact. No, that's what you believe you are. That's what you feel as though you are. That's your essence. Cool. That's what you be. But that's what you feel.
Facts are different.
You can't get, but and that's it.
A fact doesn't ever change. A feeling. Facts don't give a fuck about
feelings, man. There are people out here who have leaked their skin and say that they are white because that's what they feel that they are. Respect to them. That's what you feel. Okay, I truly and honestly believe you had a right to do that. I don't have to look at your black ass that just looks white bleached, but you still have the phenotypical features of a black person. And I don't have to, in my mind, say Sammy Sosa that, yes, you are now a white person. That's what you feel. Respect to what you feel. But to me, I'm still in my brain going to see you as a black person. That don't make me a bad person. That don't make me wrong. Just like you, if I tell you that I am the king of Zamunda, you might say, all right, peace, king. What up, king? That's cool. Just to respect the fact that I feel that way. That don't mean that you look at me as some sovereign ruler of an imaginary nation. It just means that that's what I feel, and you've respected my right to feel that way. And we move on. I believe
there's plants on other planets. He has yet to believe me yet, and we're brothers.
And I respect his right to believe that. Despite his lack of evidence, he has the right to believe that. And I have the right to disagree with it. And we can both coexist very peacefully.
And hilariously.
That makes this country so
great. Like, I'm all down for equal rights. We can't impress our beliefs on folk, man. Like, I'm a Christian. I don't think that just because somebody else is Muslim that they fucked up or that they deserve to be hurt or that anything is bad about them or nothing. It's just they don't believe what I believe. Right on. Respect. It's a belief. We both believe something. We feel something. That's not a tangible thing.
I have a hot take.
And it just shuts down the whole conversation, man. We can't even have a real conversation about the real fucked up shit because we keep deferring it to this dumb shit. That's not even the real point.
Your feelings. Your feelings. Your feelings. Not about
this. This. Get some money.
Yes, Mitch. Go ahead. Get your hot take, Pat.
Remember when Dave said it's not about the LGBTQ community, it's about corporate interests or whatever.
Bingo.
All right.
Ding, 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 ding.
I start going down the rabbit hole. All right. So also in the closer, you know, that example he had where the big white dude that became a woman. Or whatever, he started being in their face. We go through stuff, honey. And then the other black dudes are on the side, like, y'all wanna, and he's like, y'all wanna tell him something or whatever? And then that one point where they thought the white dude was gonna, well, the white dude that became a woman was gonna actually fight him, and then they called the police. I almost feel like he might be sticking to something. It might be a little bit closer to home, that example. Or whatever, like he noticed a pattern, especially around the corporate, like high status people around him and everything. And then that's when he started to have more and more examples, because it's a lot of times there's a good period in history. And Dave did bring it up where us minorities be fighting for for privileged people that's a little bit more privileged than us. They might not be as privileged as white men, but a little bit more privileged than us to get their rights before we even get any. And then when we say something, we're just angry. You know what I'm saying? When he was talking about Sojourner Truth or whatever, and they invited her to the feminist movement because they know front line of defense when it comes to fighting for equality, Black people are the front line of defense. Because like I said before, we can't take this off. We don't put our minority. We don't dress up in the mirror and figure out how our minority is going to look appealing today or whatever.
And that's the, I'm glad you brought up that Sojourner Truth part. People forget he's a layered artist. So the way he sets up his jokes is they all interlock to form a complete narrative that closes a loop at the end. So you have to pay attention to the setup jokes in the beginning because the main point that he makes at the end is always reflected in each of those jokes. So even in this, so each joke he made was driving home the point of stop punching down on my people because we are actually willing to ally with you if you actually stop like weaponizing everything against us because we disagree on a belief. We are with you on your rights and we don't even got our shit and we sitting here taking bullets for y'all, but then for y'all. You sit there and attack us because we don't kowtow to everything you believe. On top of that, I'm tired of y'all having the corporate ear and using that against everybody because that's getting old too.
That's why they said they're starting to act like the oppressors they claim they're against. Because now I want to say when I said earlier, we tend to end up fighting for other people's privilege. Yeah, they are now, it seems like more and more fighting for privileged white men that claim they're gay. That's it.
It always ends up.
They don't care. Like you don't realize you fighting for that. Like the guy that you fighting against is actually fighting for y'all a little bit more than what you realize. Like, You gonna fight for all these white men that's mad that they don't have the privilege that minorities have of complaining. I don't even want to say complaining, stating the fuckeries that we have against us or whatever. They want all the privilege or whatever. So now y'all putting yourselves in the front line, risking your jobs, risking your reputations and all that. So you can, because you feel like it's going to be fun to make a ruckus in front of a corporate building, you can feel like you got a rush out of it for that moment. Right. And what did you achieve? Because he already got paid. So even if they cancel the closer, even if they take all his stuff off, he still got paid for it. So you're not stopping him. And if Netflix says, hey, we're not going to deal with Dave no more, I'm pretty sure HBO Max and the rest of them, it's just waiting for this Netflix things to boil over so they can pick them back up because they know that controversy is going to bring something.
The thing with him, man, you can't cancel him because he's got the ear to people. They will go set up in the middle of a fucking abandoned lot somewhere and will have thousands of people flying from all over the world to come see a show just he popped up. Like, he's at that level. So it's like he don't really need, like, he can go direct to consumer, set up a little quick website, and put out a YouTube video saying that he got this on sale and people gonna buy it. So like, it's really nothing that they can do to him other than Caitlyn either Jenner, use him as an ally or just let him be him.
And Caitlyn Jenner defends Dave Chappelle and says he's 100% right. I'm not using that as, hey, if she's, you know what I'm saying? But once again,
that's the thing though. Again, he says a lot of the transgender people that he actually knows and talks to, they not mad at him. Mm-hmm. I think it's these corporate people that are mad because their interests are involved and they see a line where they can get things that they wanted to get done anyway. They can hype and they can their agenda onto this and let's and ride this wave so we can get our shit pushed through. It's the same thing they do in Congress. They wait till the Black Lives Matter movement pop up and then they try to slide their little fuck shit into the little different bills that everybody trying to get passed. And then the shit get hung up because people catch it. Like, it's the same bullshit. The power structure want to do one thing and the every man don't, but they're going to still try to force their way through. That's really what this is. It's corporate interest trying to latch their agendas onto an issue that ain't even a real issue with the real people on the ground that's dealing with. The real issue is getting transgenders equal rights and making sure that they're not out here getting attacked and harmed and abused and harassed for just being them. That's what it is. It ain't about who believe you what. It's about, do I respect your right to live as a human as you respect mine? And can I leave you the fuck alone and let you live your damn life?
Do the fuck you want to do. I don't give a fuck. Do the fuck you want to do. I'm going to do what you want to do. Live your life. Equal rights. We all fight for the exact same shit. Equal fucking rights. But we all, for some reason, can't get back on that civil rights movement. It's so fractured in this disgroup, in this disgroup, in this group, where everybody wants the same shit, because you got LGBT people getting killed by police too, just because they're LGBTQ, whatever else letter they want to put in. No disrespect to the movement, but I don't know other letters. But then you got Black people getting killed. You also got Mexican people getting killed. You got all minority groups going through the same shit. We highlight ours because we know about ours. They highlight theirs because they know about theirs. Get y'all ass on the same fucking boat and fight the main objective and the main people. You feel me? It's one main enemy, but that main enemy is so smart and so powerful, he's making all these little subgroups fight each other. And we don't see it. We all want the same exact thing. Equality. It ain't about race. It ain't about your sex. Because at the end of the day, the majority of people don't give a fuck about all these main, these minor human-made categories. Mm-hmm. The one main thing that matters is financial equality. Financial equality, economic stability on all levels. All the poor folks got the same shit in common. We got more shit in common than the rich, than we do with the rich folk. But the rich folks know that, so they make it about something else. Well, we'll make it about race, and then we'll have them all fighting. Well, we'll sit back and we'll still get all the money. Nah, motherfucker, it's about race. It's about the money, man.
Oh, see, that's the thing, though. I also peep, too. I'm glad you said that. I also peep how, like, the more that society gets away from hating each other about race, and it's like more like, yeah, we don't care what race you are. Now it's starting to be about what gender or what sex you are, or what's your sexual orientation and all that. Now it's, let's get them arguing about that. The race ain't working no more, guys. We need a new one. Oh, look, this has even more groups than the races, guys. We can just keep on adding new groups and have them fighting each other forever.
Let me tell y'all right now. Let me say this right now. I don't care how you fuck it. That's your damn business. I don't want to hear nothing about it. I don't like public displays of affection. Like, I don't like when a heterosexual couple be all hugged up and kissing in front of everybody or whatever. You know,
man, this is the thing for me, man.
Stay that shit home. I don't like that around.
I look at life like, even with PDA, it's like anything else. Depends on the time and the place. If I'm out with me and my wife, I treat it just like I would a TV show. If I don't feel like seeing some people fucking, I just look my ass the other way. Most people ain't fucking out on the street anyway, so I don't think I've ever encountered anybody just screwing out in the public, at least not normal, in my normal everyday goings about lately.
Unless you're going to one of them crazy parades.
Right, but even at the parade, but that's what I'm saying. It's like TVs. Like, if I'm at a restaurant and I see some people over there kissing or something, I don't want to see. I don't have to look.
Yeah. I'm just bringing that up. What'd you say, Faye?
Repeat what he said. He's never seen what?
People out there just fucking, at least not in my regular everyday life lately, you know, as a grown up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I ain't talking about crazy college days or no wild shit like that. Where I'm more talking about, like, you know, the average street corner, like the average day you walking through Walmart, you ain't about to just see heterosexuals just screwing. So you less likely to see just a random group of LGBTQI people just like. So it's like this, the shit that people be having in their mind, like, it ain't really that deep. Like, let them do what they do. And if you don't want to see them kids, turn your head. Like, I don't like to see, like Pat was saying, I agree. I don't like to see other couples kissing, to be honest. Unless it's me kissing my wife, I don't really care about seeing you kiss. So I don't necessarily want to see that. I turn my head with that.
I want to ask a question. Even I heard somebody ask a question the other day, and I don't remember who it was. So I don't want to fuck it up by saying the wrong name. But the question is, excuse me, back in the day, they used to say telling jokes about violence and showing violence on TV and shit like that was normalizing it, right?
Uh-huh.
But they don't say telling jokes about trans people is normalizing that.
Well, I think
why is telling jokes so much different about this group? You feel me? Like, if you want equality, take it to the chin like every other group does. A white joke to me is the same thing as a trans joke.
See, I think that there are people that are saying that. Like, I've heard that argument that this uptick in having exposure about those communities are normalizing it for other people. That's kind of where the fuck your kids comment came from, is because people like Boosie and it was like, hey, I don't want to see all this in the media, da, 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 da. I don't want to see it in public. Da, da, da. But I think the thing is, it's not going to be illuminated to us as much as people who are, you know, heterosexual like that, just because that ain't necessarily the side we, like, you always going to hear more of the thing that either is opposing to your general viewpoint or is, like, not the thing that you normally think anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's going to stand out to you more. I feel like that's the thing. Like, they, like, the transgender community is going to hear more stuff. They're going to hear less of the people that are saying, hey, we want y'all to have y'all rights. We believe y'all should have equal rights too. We just might not be what you are, like, and that's okay. Like, they're less likely to hear that. They're more likely to hear somebody who is being violent to them or who's calling them derogatory terms or who's trying to harass them. And we the same way. We're more likely to hear the opposing viewpoints because they're going to stand out more to us and they're going to register us because they're not our normal thinking pattern.
Especially with the way algorithms and social media is set up.
Indeed.
It is set up to bring things to you that will upset you because you're more likely to respond or react to a post that will piss you off or excite some type of emotion.
Right.
Than just something that would actually bring you joy or makes you happy for a moment, pretty much.
Yeah, the internet's gonna feed you one way or the other. They're either gonna give you shit that you definitely hate or shit that you definitely love. They're gonna try to evoke a strong reaction out of you.
And right there's now a lot of clout chasers that will use any situation. Oh, y'all gonna be upset about this? I'm gonna find any old thing so I can get my name out there. Because if I am the blogger, the journalist, the one comedian that can actually, or whatever, that can bring down Dave Chappelle, then I'm going to be the shit, basically. And I would also like to say that Dave Chappelle is right with one more thing. And I had to do a little bit of research before I just straight up said I agree with him. But
okay.
Hannah Gatsby, no, she is more performance art.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a TED talk, but yeah. There is not funny. There's little funny moments.
It's not funny. She's more of a story. She's more of a speaker.
Yeah. It's like she's trying to, all right, Chappelle can do what she did, but it's going to be jokes. It's going to be, even if he's not even trying to be serious, the way he says it and the way he says it and the way he comes across it, it's going to sound funny or whatever. With her, I feel like I'm listening to an activist the whole time. Like, I feel like all right, y'all seen the TED talk, right? Even in the TED talk, you may have like little funny moments or whatever, but that's not intended in the TED talk. That's just something to light the little breeze in between me saying all this random information that might be over your head. Let's light it up so you can soak that in or whatever. That's how I feel with her. But the thing is, you're not supposed to have TED talk jokes. If you're a comedian, you're supposed to have comedian jokes or whatever. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm in a lecture. The whole point of me listening to a comedian is so I can get away from all the anxiety and stress of my normal day life and laugh at it, not cry over it.
Yeah. I definitely feel you. It's definitely a little bit heavy handed.
I'm not saying don't say how you feel, because I will never be the person to say that or whatever. But you're going to have to, you're giving me false advertisement or whatever. I'm not saying don't ever say what you're against, what you feel is a bad thing. You know, if you see an injustice, I'm not saying that. But you can't label comedy over something that's not comedy. Like, it's not comedy. It's like jokes. There's no jokes in it. It's just lighthearted in-betweens until I start to spew what I'm going to vent about here. You know, some people, when they vent, it's funny. Me, for example, if I'm pissed off, I'd be literally pissed off. But people find it hilarious, Face being one of them. Sometimes it is. Whatever. Maybe it's the way I inflect, the way I say stuff, blah, blah, blah.
That should be funny, isn't it?
See what I mean? I'm not just lying. I'm not just saying here. You know, it's a slight Richard Pryor syndrome where I'm trying to be serious and it still comes out funny. Okay. And there's some people that can't do that. They can't just be mad and it turns out funny. You know, some people try to like rant and be angry or whatever, and because they seen somebody else rant and it looked funny or whatever. No, you can't do that. No, it's got to be a natural thing, man. And I know that was a rant about it, but yeah, I was expecting jokes, man, not to cry.
Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, and you know now. Baby.
Someone's at home crying alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry.
That's exactly how I felt when I was listening to that so-called comedy special, man. I agree with the stuff she was saying. I just wanted to laugh, though. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't go to a mechanic to make a sandwich.
This is true.
You know, you don't go to a fast food place to get your car fixed.
That would be more convenient, though.
It would be very convenient, especially if they actually got it fixed in that time. The drive-through time would be out the chain, seriously. Yeah. But yeah, it just don't happen like that, man. And yeah, I don't know who she's funny to, but God bless them. I'm glad she's funny to them.
Hey, man, everything ain't for everybody.
Yeah, that wasn't for me.
Time they be tripping.
They be tripping.
They be tripping.
All the time. Oh, the motherfucker. But yeah, that was my rant.
ain't none. But yeah, man, in closing, man, Chappelle, I stand with you, And not necessarily even technically on every single aspect of your argument, but more on your stance as far as why you having the right to stand on the fact that you can't keep pushing people away from us if you want us to be your ally. At some point, you got to allow us to like be your ally. And that doesn't mean agree on everything. It means that we respect each other regardless. I don't understand everything about everybody in my family, but I want them, you know, and I think that's how we got to look at it. Yeah, man, Chappelle, you have not missed. So I'm definitely going to be trying to pick up tickets when he comes to Atlanta for that movie premiere. Yeah, man, if I do, I'll definitely blog for him.
Yeah. And he's supposed to have a new show coming out, so.
I'm not mad. Also, check out his interview he did with David
Letterman. Yeah. That from a long time ago?
I don't know how long
ago. Or is it a new one?
But it popped up on my feed recently, so I don't know how old it is. But
I think I've seen it before, yeah. Because Letterman was doing a whole bunch of interviews.
They did it when Letterman had that big-ass beard.
Mm-hmm. He did.
It's good.
Because he did Obama, too.
It was during the pandemic.
Yeah. Definitely within the past year or two.
Very good material. Very good. Now, since we're somewhat on the topic, like I was already mentioned previously when we were talking about the community and the Black movement, I want to reference Black movements right now and the they culture. Every time it's an uproar or we're on an upheaval, I should say, and we're making gains, it's always a they that comes out of nowhere, and it's like they are pitted, or some other movement is pitted against the Black movement, and it's like almost a competition that they makes it looks like. But my first thing is, who the fuck is the they? Now, in the 60s and 70s, we found out that they was actually the government with the COINTELPRO program. In their own mission statement, it was proven that they were actually targeting the Black community and Black movements and so-called Black messiahs that could get Black militant groups in an uproar or get them in together. So they were actually putting them. But everyone is still using the they. In the media, they use the they. In conversations, with the they. And even in the conversations of the community versus any Black movement, it's a they. Now they're not even they're separating or trying to make Black movements separate themselves. They're calling the Black Lives Matter movement one movement. No, that's not a movement. That's just a statement. Black lives matter. You feel me? Like, we're just letting you know our lives matter as well, but we still want equal rights.
Right.
That's the main thing. And the so-called they, I'm trying to figure out who is the they. I was watching the interview the other day in reference to the Dave Chappelle backlash, and they had Richard Pryor's old bodyguard up there.
I've seen that too.
And the interviewer kept referencing they. He was like, who is they? I'm like, he was like, can anybody tell me who this they is, this mystical they everyone keeps referencing? No one can name who they are. Like, can you name them? Can you name a person in this they? No one can. But we can always reference just that. They did this. They're doing this. There is no they. The media constructs that. There is a they. The media is the outlet or the outlets to put the information out there to continue to feed. You feel me? Continue to feed the uproar and the divisions. As long as there's division, there will always be a greater good, a greater bad. There will never be equality as long as there's division. But when there's unity, there can be equality.
I think the problem is that they shifts depending on the conversation. Like when we're talking about Dave Chappelle versus the trans community, we're talking about if he's talking about the they as in the people, the corporate and economical powerhouses and juggernauts kowtow to the special interests of this particular group while ignoring the special interests of all of these other oppressed groups. Who kind of had a leg in the game earlier. I think if you're talking about Black people in general, I think that they is the global power structure that allowed the slave trade to be enacted in the first place with the power structure of capitalism and other economic systems like that, that are basically ran off of the theory of a specific group being more well off than the general. If you're talking about a Patriots fan, then they would be Tom Brady, pissed at him. So it's like, I think that they shifts, but I do like the question because I think that's one thing that's very important. I think the problem is we've gotten so used to generalizing all of these arguments and lumping everything in. I think it is a time, especially now that we have so many people, quote unquote, woke, that are waking up to a different plight, that we start being more specific with our arguments. Like if we really want some change, we can't just keep saying, well, they know, say, I want the police in this area to stop doing this, not I want them to stop doing, like who the, because you can't attack them. You can't put restrictions on them. You can't make a law that stops them from doing something, but you can make a law that stops a specific group from doing something. You can make a law that stops hate crimes against certain groups. You can make laws that allow certain allowances for groups, but you can't help they. You can't fight against they. It's nothing you can do with they. So I definitely like the idea of being specific and really having a detailed ask to make things a movement. Because I also like that comment Faith said about Black Lives Matter not being a movement. Like, a statement is a statement. The only way something becomes a movement is if you put some action behind it. Like, it's literally in the word movement. There has to be some actual tangible growth or progression made toward a certain end. It can't just be, we just mad. Okay, you mad. So what you gonna do about it? You know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's my take.
I think that's the funny about that. It's impossible to put a finger on they because they make it impossible. If
who was they?
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be, it's the same people Dave is talking about, the same people we may imagine it be. It's like whoever controls a certain amount of, that's in a certain tax bracket that controls the most of the economy, you know, that bracket, like if it's anything, that's a they. But really, it's not like it's a, humans are not evolved enough to have one singular group control everything and not be exposed. Like, it's impossible. People, you get into a certain tax bracket, your ego gets into play. You start feeling like, all right, I done this and this, and it shifts certain things in the world, not just where I'm at, in the world, that blows your head, you know, that it, you start feeling like you should put your place in history,
you're power
things like
hungry.
That. And power hungry, exactly. Like it's way, the only thing close to it is people finding general interest with the stuff that they like to do and want to make sure that they stay doing it. But the only way they can stay doing it if other people don't. So as long as there's people out there that still want to do fuckery behind closed doors and in the dark or whatever, that's your they. But that could be human nature. You know what I'm saying? They is us. Us is they.
He is I, and I is chicka chicka.
Slim with the tilted brim.
On 20-inch rims. What? Yeah. We've had two.
It's Illuminati.
We've had two Jigga references.
They. The day is the Illuminati
dynasty,
but I definitely think the day man is whoever it is that is in power over the person that is saying that. Because usually, yep. When you start to say the day, it's because the power that's over you is seemingly so big or overwhelming that it's hard to even put a finger on a specific person. It's an entity. So, but we do have to start naming these entities so we can actually properly address them. Otherwise, he gets to keep on being the day in the shadow.
Wow.
I also think it's time to focus more on the us instead of the day. Because we do spend a lot of time focused on day, but then us is still not right.
And the only truth to get us on the page, to make sure us, we all are equal. We don't want no more. We don't want no less. We want the exact same. Equal. Not greater than, less than. Equal to. That's what we want, man. Equal to give me the same, afford me the same. You feel me?
Equity, don't make equality, and peace, man.
Don't give me the dirty shit. You got the brand new shit. Give me the same. If you can't afford two brand new, get two old dirty ones. If we both two had two old dirty ones, that's what I'm talking about. Equal.
Old dirty. Well,
we also want to be left the fuck alone.
Yeah. Equity, equality, and peace.
And leave us the fuck alone.
Make sure we all have access to the same shit. Make sure we have the same shit. And make sure we all have the right.
Think I want to live near your neighborhood? No. Just leave us the hell alone.
Yeah, they leave us alone. They.
It ain't your neighborhood. You may own the house, but you own them. It's earth, man. No man has domain over what God has created. This is all man shit. We all adhere to this man shit. Get your mind right, man. If we all adhere to something totally different, then what? You keep allowing these people to show you what equality really is and dangling it in front of your damn face and pitting you against each other like rats in a competition, like in a race battling for some fucking cheese, and we all battling for the same damn thing. Instead of working together.
We all need to say, fuck that cheese and get us a steak.
You feel me? Lactose intolerant anyway.
Teamwork, make a dream work. That ain't just a slogan, goddamn it. That's real life.
Now that's big fat. That's big fat.
Shit.
It works
you
for
could,
us.
You could be a finger or you could be a fist. That fist stronger than
Right. Poke a motherfucker in the eye. You can knock their ass.
Punch their ass the fuck out and give them two black eyes.
And then you'll realize you should have left them the fuck alone. Like I said earlier.
Yeah, that's the day, man. We got to focus on us. And I tell you one thing about us. If y'all want to focus on us, there's a beautiful few ways that you can always send a lovely financial to dollars. Or you can always subscribe to our Anchor podcast and support the podcast there. Or you can sign up for a membership or donate on buymeacoffee.com/thepartner, where you can get sign up for a membership for $4.99. And with that, you would get back exclusive backstage access to us via our partners Discord. You would get unedited videos, exclusive access to all of the podcasts. So you see everything nobody else sees. You have members only events, giveaways, promo codes that only you will be able to get for our merchandise. And again, that's at buymeacoffee.com. To partners for as little as a dollar, you can sign up for a membership for $4.99. You can also be a subscriber for $4.99 on Anchor, or you can send us a cash note, $ partner tiers on Cash App. Now, y'all remember them promo codes? They go to something. Face, if I get one of them promo codes, what do I get access to?
Well, you can get access to a whole slew of things if you go to arttradeclothing.com. Once again, that's artreclothing.com. Very simple to spell. A-R-T-R-E clothing.com. You can go get your partner's merchandise. You can go get your Artre merchandise. You can go get a hoodie starting to get chilly. You can go get a sweatshirt starting to get chilly. You can go get a hat. You can go get a canvas bag. You can go get some throw pillows for your couch, for your bed.
You even got socks and phone cases.
You can get socks. You can get phone cases. We got a couple of almost everything you can want and need right about now.
And all
different colors and combinations.
All the time. You feel me? We got different colors and combinations on the page. Go through, go toggle. Go
see. Go toggle.
We got some mint and white things coming out. I like the color mint for this winter coming out. This mint and white stuff, I'm going to get down with myself. So check us out, man. Artreclothing.com. Once again, A-R-T-R-E clothing.com, baby.
Indeed, man. Go check us out. And if you want to get more access or information, you want to hit us up, you want to communicate with us, Pat, how can they get in touch with us outside of the podcast?
We have an Instagram, we have a TikTok, we have a Twitter, and we also have a Facebook at THEPODNAS, and that's with the TikTok, the Instagram, the Twitter. It's also the Facebook. We also have a second Facebook, Tiz Face Pat Are the Partners, and you can message us there. We also have the live show. We're going to start that back up pretty soon. You didn't ask us, but if y'all got videos y'all want us to react to, send it to any one of our social medias, whatnot, at THEPODNAS.
Indeed. And if you forgot everything all three of us just told you, don't worry, we got you. Just go to thepodnas.com, THEPODNAS.com, and you can get access to all of the donation information, the subscription information, the social media accounts, the live shows, the videos, the podcasts, the merch, anything you looking for, it's right there, one-stop shop, thepodnas.com. You see it on your screen there, access to everything. Just go there at the click of a button, you there. So, yeah, man, if you ever looking to do that, those are the ways to get in touch with us and get access to all of our things. And I think this is a good place to leave it, guys. Yeah, y'all be blessed this week. We hope to bring the live show back this week, but we're gonna see what scheduling look like and whatnot. This coming week is a bit of a hectic one here, especially for your boy. So we'll see what happens with that. But we love y'all. Thank y'all for continuing to rock with us, Pod Squad. And as always, I have been one third of the partner, your boy Tiz, and I'm along with
your favorite neighborhood superhero with no superpowers, the Padawan here. I can draw real good though, and I'm along with. Dramatic pause.
Once again, it's your man facing the place. Thank y'all for coming. Could have been anywhere, but you came here with us. Peace out. We love y'all.
Indeed, man. Love y'all. See y'all again next week. And I hope y'all are. We about this thing, y'all.
Zippity-doo-dah,
3 weeks
bitch,
to a year. 3 weeks
zip
to a year.
Zip it in and zip it out. I'm about to go.